the dangers of drifting. I think really the word to drift in our use is only used once in the New Testament, and it's in Hebrews chapter 1, strangely enough. And it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, and the word is glide past them, drift away from them. That's where it's used. But I want to think about the dangers of being on the sea of life and drifting. There are just three things before my mind, and I might not be very long. I want to think of a man drifting without an anchor. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about a sure anchor. I want to think about a man drifting without a name. You need a steady aim to ride the sea of life. I want to think about a man drifting without an arm. A strong arm with which to battle the tide and to pull against it. I wonder if we take that home very simply tonight. Drifting without a sure anchor. Drifting without a steady aim. And drifting without a strong arm. I'm very thankful that there is a sense in which the child of God can never drift away from Christ. You know, dear friend, there's something to rejoice in the fact that we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Ah, George Bobo left the scene of time, but he had an anchor that took him safely into the harbour. I wonder, dear soul, tonight, if you were to leave this very moment, have you got an anchor? And I want to spend a few moments just at the start of it. I know it's not a gospel meeting now. I'm just wondering, has everybody in this building got an anchor with which to meet the storms of eternity? Is it to be said of you drifting on the sea of life? Drifting day after day and year after year, and not an anchor to hold. You know that little hymn we sometimes sing? O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. Return while the Saviour in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbour light. But how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the dead line? Is there anybody in Ballymena Gospel Hall, in the light of all we have heard and known these past days, and they're still drifting down the roads of life and upon the tide of life, and they haven't an anchor? They're drifting on towards hell and destruction, and they're not saved. Oh, dear soul, we'd like to reach out tonight with the life belt of the gospel and reach you where you slip over the boundary line into eternity, never to come back again. Have you an anchor? If it had been you. George Bull was in a gospel meeting, so far as I understand, on Thursday night. And there's a hall full of people here. If it had been anybody in the present company that's not saved, where would you have been tonight? Have you an anchor? I know the child of God can drift, and we're going to look at that. But I want you to know that we believe with all our hearts that a man can never drift and be lost once Christ has saved him. I want you to get that well home into your heart and head tonight, young believer. Once in Christ forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. And I want you to know that when God has saved you, whether it was like me just a little boy, or well on in life in adulthood, I want you to know a link has been formed that will never, never, never be broken. And many a man has despaired and looked around and driven into a snowdrift and despaired of life and despaired of salvation and wondered if ever he was really saved at all and wondered about the matter and how was it in his soul and how would it be, and the pressures of life have built up and built up until there seems to be all is lost. Listen, friend, if you are saved, there's an anchor within the veil tonight, and so sure as Christ is upon the throne of heaven, so sure shall the weakest believer arrive there, cleansed by his precious blood. And so sure, dear friend, as the forerunner has for us entered, within the veil, so sure shall every little vessel that's tied to the sure anchor of Christ and his work arrive safely on the harbour bright. Storms will be past forevermore. What a blessing to be saved. What a blessing to have an anchor moored safely within the veil. Now, have you got one? Have you got one? If we were to go round the company and ask everybody here tonight, can you sing with all your heart, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love." Mind you, friend, when it comes to the end of the road, it won't matter how many vessels you've owned in life. It won't matter how well you've rowed and how well you've sailed. It won't matter how strong a swimmer you've been in the busy seas of life. It won't matter one little bit about your success. It won't matter one little bit about your money. The only thing that matters, have you an anchor? Have you been to Christ? Have you ever been saved? And if you're not tonight, I want to tell you all else is vain. All else is meaningless. All else is absolutely useless. If you have no Savior, you have nothing. You have nothing. If you have no anchor, you're drifting hopelessly. And some of these days, you'll slip over the boundary into eternity and be gone forever. Never be back again. Drifting without an anchor. Never true of the believer. Never true of the believer. Never true of anyone that's got saved. We do not believe that a man can be saved and lost. We do not believe that a man can fall from grace in that sense and lose his soul. We believe that a precious blood of Christ is ever efficacious and sufficient to land the sinner safely in heaven who has put their trust in him. But I want to come tonight now to what perhaps was the burden of the message that was indicated. I don't really know. The thought of drifting without a name. An aim. Not a name, N-A-M-E. But drifting without an A-I-M. Gliding by. You know, if a man's drifting, well, it's a sign he has no anchor in one sense. It's also a certain sign that he has missed the road that he was intending to go. Nobody ever sets out on a voyage, you know, and has no map. Not if they're wise. Nobody sets out on a sea boat without a compass. Is there a young believer here who's got saved? And up to this present moment in life, you have no definite aim for that little life of yours. Know what you're doing? Drifting. Drifting. You're like a man in a boat. No compass. Where do we go? We'll go anywhere. Just go with the current. Not really matter too much where we're going. We'll find something to do. That was never God's intention for your life, dear young believer. I want you to know that we have in Paul a wonderful example of a man with an aim in life. Listen to what he says. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I tell you, Paul was no drifter on the sea of life. Paul was no idle rower now and again, and wondering where he was going, and one day this direction, one day that direction. Paul had charted the course of his life under the eye and will of God. What he was really saying is this: my heart is fixed, eternal God, fixed on me. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, have you a true aim for life? I wonder, has it really dawned upon you yet? Only one life till soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus will last. Are you counting the moments precious of your life? I think we all would need to just bow our heads and look back over the life we've lived. You've likely spent a good time just drifting about, not much done for the Lord. You've likely spent a good bit of time just going round in circles. I want to appeal to everybody here and to my own heart in that very respect. Let us have an aim for our life. You know, Lot was a man with an anchor. We had no aim. Lot was a man with an anchor.
And Abraham was a man with an anchor.
But Abraham had an aim in life and love. You look at the way by a simple view of a landscape, his feet are turned out of the way of God. You look at the way, at undoubtedly a word of encouragement from the chief men in a city, he moves into their gate to take a place. What has he missed? I'll tell you what he's missed. He missed what Abraham had in life that kept him a pilgrim until the day he died. He looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Somebody once wrote and said words that are very true. He builds too low, who builds beneath the sky. Dear young friend and older one, because sometimes those that are older are afflicted with the same kind of problems. If your only aim in life is for worldly advancement and worldly things, I want to tell you, your aim too low. If your only aim for your children is to see them well educated, I want to tell you, you've missed the goal. And if you have no interest in seeing your family saved, it's a shame. And if you have no interest in putting before them estimates, not of the world they're in, but of a world that is to come, you've missed the road for your family. I hope they don't miss the road. I hope mine don't miss the road. I know you can't put them on the right road. I know you can't set their feet and push them on the road you'd like to see them go. I want to tell you, you can show them the example and they'll maybe follow your road. And you can hold out before them the goal and the target that you are aiming at. It's very likely they'll follow. It's not always true. But here's a man, and Paul's not drifting. And oh, says Paul, I'm on the sea of life and my vessel is very frail at times. Paul ran into more drift than any of us will ever know about. But there was something that made him keep the compass in his hand. There was something about his life and convictions that made him live with a divine compass in his hand so that he wouldn't miss the road where he cannot get. That's the secret of a happy life, you know. Dear friend, don't make the mistake of thinking that prosperity is the secret of a happy life. It's not really. I know it's not nice to be poor, but prosperity is not alone the secret of a happy life. You know what the secret is? Living for God. Walking in the way of his commandments. And doing your very best that the prize never one of the clothes. And pressing towards the mark. I wonder, could we try and adjust our course tonight? We've all been solemnized by the home call of Brother George. We've all been made to feel that right enough isn't life uncertain. I know it happens every day and somebody dies every day, but somehow or other, George Bovell, it makes us big enough, and it might be very long. And we've all great plans for the future. And maybe you think, whenever you retire, well, you'll have really a lot of time to give to the things of God you might never see. And maybe you think, whenever I was settled and married and got a job, a good job, and I would really put my weight into the assembly. Young man, the time is now. And God's work is waiting now. And the assembly needs you now. All other things really must take second place if there's a prize to be won at the end of the journey. Don't be a drifter. Don't be a drifter. Aimlessly moving about from pillar to post, hardly knowing what you believe or why you believe it, here and there, get your Bible down and learn from the Word of God where you should be and why you should be there. Are you in a local assembly? If you were put against the wall with a New Testament in your hand, would you really be able to show me why you're there? Do you profess to be saved?
Could you tonight give a clear story of how, when, and where God saved you? Has there been a change in your life from that moment onward? Are you living as a new creature in Christ Jesus?
Somebody, I got saved, all right. I know I'm saved.
What about your life? What about all our lives? The sea of life is filled.
Many that are just drifting. And the work of God waits to be done. And many an assembly dwindles. And many an assembly exercise is left to one or two. Let us put our whole backs into the work. And our shoulder to the wheel. And do our best for the progress of the work of God in the district of the world.
Let us learn to know what is an assembly. Let us recognize the features from God's holy word of what it means to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it's a distinct and a definite and absolutely different thing from everything else that's in the world of a religious nature. It's not just another denomination. It's something distinct where God has placed his name. It might be far from perfect as far as those that are in are concerned.
But you get to appreciate it and see its distinctive character. And make sure that you do all in your power to build it up and nothing to pull it down.
Do your utmost, dear brother. Maybe older brothers can we dare to speak to now. Beyond my years, and that will be difficult and hardly right for me.
And you just say in passing, if God's put you in an assembly, may he give you a heart for it, to really love it, and to do everything in your energy and power to build up what is of God, and to do nothing to build up that which is opposed to the work of God in assembly testimony.
What about our aim?
I was making a wee play on the word. Sometimes we're more interested in a name than an aim.
Sometimes it's more important to us if people know who we are
and if God really appreciates what we're doing.
We like a name among the people,
even among the Christians. But God sees our motives and God sees into the heart. Let there be no double-mindedness. Let there be no double tongues. Let there be a single eye for the glory of God as we chart our little course on the sea of life. May it be straight towards the mark. And so we'll stop drifting, won't we? We'll fix our sights on heaven. We'll fix our sights on those scenes, just like Abraham did. You know, in chapter 6 here, there's a number of things linked with an anchor that Abraham had. There's a consolation, there's a refuge, there's a hope, there's an entrance within the veil. You trace that in Abraham's life when you find and see how he proved the blessing of having a real anchor. I want to think now, because the time is gone really, I want to think about the importance of a strong bar. You see, Paul had an anchor, and Paul had an aim, but Paul had an arm divinely strengthened to pull against the tide. Now that's not easy, sure it's not. A man's drifting, why is he drifting? Well, he has no compass. That's one reason. He might have a compass and not be strong enough to row against the tide, and he's just given it up. Far easier. Far more simple just to sit in the boat and see where it takes us. That's why I read in 1 John chapter 2. It takes a strong arm to row against the tide. The race is not to the swift, and the battle to the strong, I know. But it takes a strong arm, divinely strengthened, to row against the tide. What does John say to the young men? I have written unto you because you are strong and have overcome the wicked one. You see, what we really want is not drifters, but overcomers. What the assembly needs is not drifters, but overcomers.
And though that be difficult, I want you to know from the authority of God's word, it's not impossible. What does he say in chapter 2? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but of the world. Paul had an anchor. Paul had a name, and Paul had an arm that was strong. But Demas had an anchor. And Demas had an aim. But the world was too strong for him. What does it say about Demas? This Paul Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present. Imagine leaving the company of a man like Paul to become a drifter. It tells me, dear brethren, something very searching. That because you might have spent 6 or 7 or 10 or 20 years running well, it's no guarantee we're going to finish well. That's very searching, man. For although Demas for a time had his eye upon the goal, he began to drift. He loved the present. To some, there's no danger of me going back into the world. Just a minute. I would say there's a very big danger of us all having a look back into the world. If we were really honest, there is no man that is a match for the enemy that is about us. And really, the more we think we are a match, the less we are a match. And the stronger we feel in the realms of the world and its ways, the weaker we really are, if the truth were only but known. What about the muscles in your arm, dear brother? Travelling on the sea of life, moving on that little bark of yours for a good number of years now, I wonder, instead of the muscles becoming weaker, are they beginning to get flaxy? Instead of becoming stronger, are they beginning to get soft? You would do things now you never would do before. Have things now you never would have before. Not beginning to drift, are we? Am I beginning to drift? You see, we need to take a stock of how we're going on the journey. We need to really examine our ways in the sight of God. The sea of life is a big expanse of water. Sometimes it takes a long while to cross. And on that way there are many, many enemy vessels. We've got to beware of them from every side, from every angle, lest something should appear that would cause us drift away. Mind you, we don't have to look very far to see something that makes us drift. We don't have to go out looking for trouble. We don't have to go out looking for difficulties. I think some brother did say that last Sunday night here in the Bible reading. The Christian never has to go out looking for problems. There's generally always just something. And if it's not here today, it'll be here tomorrow. I wonder how we're getting on. Overcome. Are we going under at all? You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I think, there we have a verse that it says, men are in danger of drowning. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men. Drown men. I wonder, are we tampering with anything that would just put us under for a time? I wonder, are we handling anything that would spoil us in the service of God? I wonder, are our assemblies clear? I wonder, are our homes clear of anything that would introduce the world before our eyes? I wonder, are our homes clear of anything that just put the world into our children? I have no doubt that everybody here would love to see their family saved right now. I have no doubt that every mother and father would pray for that with all their hearts. I hope they can go home from the meeting with the meeting still in their mind. And go to bed with the meeting still in their mind. And I hope you can pray with the meeting still in your mind. And I hope there's nothing that would just bring the world, pour it into their tiny minds, and set them off on the road. lifting. How easy for us all, for me, for you, for any. Thank God we're not without an anchor. Praise God we have an anchor that will never let us go, that will hold us forever. And whatever our difficulties, it will hold us forever. We'll rise from the harbour bright, with the storms all past forever. I hope we're not without an aim. I hope we're not without an arm that's strong to overcome the world and its ways and all its activities that would turn us off and make us drift. May God bless these few thoughts to all our hearts tonight and help us to set our sights on heavenly shores and on a prize for eternity and not lose ourselves and drown in the world and its ways.